Welcome back to another episode of Friday Night Light. It's been a minute or two since I've been on here, and admittedly with the pandemic and political fuckery and the holidays, I wasn't feeling very sociable and or podcasty. Didn't really want to hunt people down to be a guest on my show, and therefore I took a little break, and it was much needed. But I am back on my bullshit of connecting with people and being creative, two of the things that I find are very important, especially now in these times. So sit back, listen up to a guest I've had on previously, Amy, and find out what she's been up to. And you can find all the future podcasts here on anchor.fm Thursdays at midnight.
How about now?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
I do. Yay.
Well, that was all my fault.
Well, that's okay. We won't blame anybody. I was like, maybe I haven't done this in a while. So I'm like, did I do it right? I have no idea.
Well, I didn't have a choice of a microphone to choose last time. So I didn't choose one this time. Well, the first time it let me choose either speakerphone or earpiece. And I left the word default up there thinking it was going to figure it out.
Right. Like, oh, I'm like, this is too many choices for just shooting a shit.
So I was like, oh, speakerphone.
Right.
And yeah, ta-da.
And I'm like in my bed with laundry at the foot and I got my headphones in. I don't really know why I use my headphones. I guess maybe I feel more legit with those in, but I mean, it's just a phone call, so I could just listen over the speaker, but whatever.
No, that's true. My friend Kim, she uses her earpieces all the time around the house and everything, so for any call, not even, you know, I don't know, any call.
Right. Well, nobody calls me, so I'm like, I don't know what to do, except for my parents. Like, I have 1,000 voicemails that I save that are from my parents, and people try to get a hold of me. They're like, your voicemail's full. I'm like, yeah, because my parents leave me messages. They're the only ones who call me. They're the only ones who leave messages. So we're going to save those.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Absolutely.
So how's everything?
Everything is good. Today's a good day. It's a good time right now. You know,
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to get all zenned out for this. I prop myself up with a couple of my yoga bolsters. I'm on one of my mats under one of my blankets with my hot tea. I was like, this is going to be totally zen. And it is.
Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, like, I've been wanting to get back into this. I was looking at all the episodes I've done so far, and it looks like we did ours together in July.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it seems like forever ago. So much has changed since then. Life for everyone is way different. But I'm really happy that you'll be the first one, like, rebooting this, if you will, so we can kind of catch up and see what's going on.
Well, it's kind of like the second half of the other life, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, on the flip side of everything that was just starting, because, I mean, if we look at from July, I mean, I guess this time last year it was really amping up, but,
right.
You know, in July.
July was really, really like craziness. It was craziness. It's craziness now. It's a different crazy.
Yeah, it's a new normal, which is just so odd to say out loud.
Every day is a new normal at this point.
That's
true.
Kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah. So true.
That whole, and like, tomorrow is another day. Yeah, it is. Tomorrow is another day. It's another life.
Yeah, it is. And the thing about it, too, is that I try to, you know, put the positive spin on it. But, I mean, because everything right now is just so kind of scary and unsettling and... But I feel like, you know, honestly, looking back as kids, I mean, I grew up in Europe and this kind of shit, like, you know, planes were being hijacked and Chernobyl was happening. I lived in Germany when the wall was up. I mean, so if we really think about everything that's taken place over our lifetime, like, I know the shit that's going on is bad, but I feel like it's so much more tangible now because of social media.
Yes, exactly. What everything is so much more because of the social media and the news and the way that it carries so quickly. We didn't have that. We had, you know, half hour news at 5 p.m., no commercials. The weather report wasn't all day long. It was just a weather report, the end. But yeah, it's social media is wonderful, but also can be the devil. So depends on.
And I think, you know, obviously that it's brought me to people like you. So I'm always kind of complimenting social media. Like, you know, it is what you make of it. I know that to be true. And another reason why I delete and block people too, because this is my news feed. You know, I don't tune into a news station or any news station for that matter, so that I can see shit that I don't really care about and or don't want to fuck up my mental health. And that's really what it's come down to, is that it's my news feed, it's my connections, and I really don't feel like it's immature for people to delete and block me either. I feel like, you know what, you probably don't want to see my happy shit all the time either, or my dance and jiggles in the bathroom. You know what I mean? So I get it. It goes both ways. And I really do feel like, you know, as a community, we have control over what we want to spend our energy on, you know?
Absolutely. We have to have control of what we spend our energy on. I mean, if we can, you know, if we don't have control of our energy, we know what it's like to not have control of our energy. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. And it's not good for anyone around us because it just ricochets and bounces and reinvents itself while it's running around. I don't even know how to explain that.
It's so true though. And that is something, I just got goosebumps on that because it's so true. Like even when I posted the other night and you know, like reading it back, I was like, oh my God, like I was upset, but I wasn't really making sense in my gut of anger or the feeling that I was feeling. And so other people reading it totally ricochet. People like, are you okay? What's going on with you? And I'm like, I wasn't as profound as I could be, maybe the red wine, but I also know that I just was so upset that I didn't have a control of my emotions at that time. You know what I mean? Because I was letting everybody else's shit kind of get to me. And
Absolutely.
God, I hope if anything, 2020 is teaching people. I mean, I just really wish people would look more within as opposed to outside of themselves. What was the quote that you posted yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Yes, and I think today I just hopped up because I'm going to come read it. Don't come from within, come from above. Yeah, that is, I wrote that on my mirror a couple of months ago. It came from a series I was watching on HBO, and I cannot even think of the name of it now. Is it The Undoing? Oh, let me just turn my volume down. I apologize.
That's okay.
The Nicole Kidman series that I just watched, and I read the book last year called You Should Have Known. But in this, a man says to his wife, "Come from within, not from above." And did I just say that backwards?
I know, I'm like, wait.
I'm gonna go read it one more time and then get back under my blanket because that's why I wrote it on my mirror because I was like, you have to remember this. Don't come from within, come from above. Okay, that's what it is. So I rambled.
Now, what was the show with Nicole Kidman? I've The Undoing, is that what it
Yes, I believe
was?
that's what it was called, and the book was "You Should Have Known." And so this woman's husband is cheating on her, and it, you know, it's this whole big dramatic thing. Oh, you know, I might even have the wrong series. I've watched so much TV, but in the series I was watching, there was a lot of cheating going on, and one of the women was back talking with her husband, looking for advice, and he just made that statement to her, and in the situation, it was just so like, oh, I wrote it on a piece of paper. I had to stop and rewind because I was like, all right, write this down right. And then I wrote it on my mirror, and I've never written a message on my mirror before. And so that's why I was like, hashtag copying La and Jin, because my friend Angela leaves messages around her house for her husband and her children. And I know that you and the girls have all on your mirrors. And so I was like, I'm
It's awesome. And I was actually, that one picture I used as a profile picture, I mean, it looks, I really need to do it, because I'm like, wow, I can really barely see myself in here. But, you know, I have so many things on there, and it really does make a difference, because I will catch myself like in a fucking mood, and I will see that. And it's so funny how you will see it all around, but then you're not really paying attention to it. And there's one, what was the one that I had today that I just walked by and I was like, oh, I forgot that was there. I'll go look.
Right.
It says lead with love. And it's like really, it's right in the middle of everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really see it. But yeah, I think writing stuff on the mirror is really important. Mm-hmm. Almost like, you know, like a yearbook, like you go back and you're like, holy shit, I wrote that like, you know, 6 months ago, and look how it's really affecting me still, you know? Mm-hmm.
I like little things like that. Like I have little like Scrabble letter magnets so that I can just make a word on my refrigerator. Like if something pops into my head, just like that. The dry erase board I used to leave the kids' messages on. I love that stuff. But you run out of room and it's
like, right.
And I'm like, I just painted everything in here. I want it to be so pretty and covered.
Right. I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, my house is such a mess. But I'm like, I guess that's okay to have a mirror like that, because it does mean something. But yeah, that quote. Yeah, exactly. So, and I wanted to go back to the whole thing about what you said about the undoing or whatever, as far as there's a lot of cheating going on. So this is a conversation that kind of pops up from time to time, especially like if when I'm like beginning to date and I'm telling somebody my story and they're telling me theirs. And do you think that when somebody is cheated on, do you think it's equivalent to things that we've been through when you've been, quote, beated on? Because people are like, oh, first one cheated, second one beated. Do you think that that kind of trauma or tragedy is equivalent? You know, like in the reverse for a guy to be cheated on, do you feel like that is similar to the betrayal that we've been through? Or what's your take?
I don't know. I mean, the beat it on part and the cheated on part, like I look at them differently. But I do feel like they are equivalent, to certain degrees. They both wring your heart right out. They both, you know, your brain is mush when you're dealing with anything like that, because it's emotional. But the aftermath, I don't know, like what lingers the most with me, being cheated on or being beat on. Like, I don't know.
Well, 'cause I feel like in the end, it's all about respect and value. Yeah. Right? So somebody, I mean, and it's kind of stereotypical and sexist to say, well, rarely men are beated on, although we do know that they are.
We do know
that. But the equivalent to, you know, kind of what we've been through and being shunned and blamed and put to the side like we didn't matter. I mean, for a guy to have been cheated on, you know, and he has no idea what's going on. And obviously, I'm not equating it to the same, but I am trying to understand. You know, just like if somebody has never been abused, they don't really know what we've been through.
Right.
So when I try to, and I mean, as far as being cheated on, like, I don't know that I have specifically, but that undervalue feeling, you know what I mean? And then how do you get past, like, that shit was not my fault.
It's,
you know, it's.
Yeah, no, it was not. And is not still, like. I think there is an equivalence. Like I do know men that have been completely blindsided and wrecked because they were cheated on, heartbroken. Mm-hmm. But then I know some that have been angry too. And so I guess there is an equivalence. But there's some men won't let you know their emotional part.
Right.
Like all of a sudden it's just, you know, that stupid bitch or whatever, like, you know, but I do know some men that it has really affected, for quite some time.
Yeah, because I do think too that in the, you know, and it's kind of apples and oranges, but it's also this whole, you know, road that we're on, you know, try to understand people better, because that brings us together, that I feel like men struggle with talking about that, because then it kind of shuns them, that they weren't man enough, right, or they
lowers them. Yeah.
And the same with women being abused, that, you know, we then take on this whole blame society, like, oh, I shouldn't have spoken up and I shouldn't have worn that. And so to me, there is kind of this whole baseball field of it, like, okay, I can see where the respect for sure is lacking. Mm-hmm. But men rarely talk about any of that, you know?
Did you see on, yeah. I watched it last night, actually. It's called Herself. Mm-hmm. I think it's on Amazon. And it's 2021, I think it just came out. So it's mm-hmm. a woman who is in an abusive relationship, and she escapes, finds a temporary situation. And it's all about, you know, how she escapes, what she's going through, and the dealings that she has in the courtroom after the fact. And like, they've got all of the medical reports, the hospital bills, they've got everything there. And instead of saying to him, and she calls them out on it, you know, why did you do this to her? Why didn't you stop? They keep, you know, asking her, why didn't you leave? And she's like, you know, all of this. And you keep asking me, why didn't I leave? Why don't you ask him why he didn't stop? And that's like, we do carry that. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. we are the ones that walk away with that, with the shame, with the guilt, with the pain, with all of it. Mm-hmm. The burden of everything we went through, we carry for as long as we do, until we slowly learn how to shed it. But do we ever really 100% shed it? I don't know.
Right. Still shedding, yeah, for sure.
I'm still shedding. Molting, right? We're molting.
Like, you hear that noise of cicada? That's Amy and I. We're molting.
Yeah.
So now, anytime y'all hear cicadas in the summer, just know that's women molting out of their abusive relationships that they probably went through. I mean, if you can't laugh about it, really. But you know, it's so wild. I saw this thing the other day, and you know, you get up in the morning, you're like, I'm badass, I'm kicking ass at life, and then just something happens. Like, every fucking time I vacuum, something goes wrong with my vacuum, and it sets me back so far to when I was married, and a vacuum was thrown over the balcony, and you know, the court says, oh, we both ticked. I mean, none of that. And I'm just like, it sets me back.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, this is why I want to control vacuuming so much too, because I couldn't then. And so it's like, you know, you just never know when something's going to blip. But my reaction time now is much different. Mm-hmm. You know, like how I let it get to me. I've definitely, I've molted, you know, easier, I guess I would say. But yeah, it's always kind of there.
Yeah.
Especially too with the kids getting older and asking questions and all of that, I'm struggling a little bit with that, because I'm at the part of my journey where forgiveness, and it's not that I don't want to talk about it, I just don't want to live there anymore. I don't want to live in that headspace. No, you know,
no. You don't want to go back, because you know how it felt, and it brings you there, even if you try really hard and you say, I can talk about it now without whatever. You just never know. Mm-hmm. And the triggers. Recently, my car was ransacked about 10, I don't know, maybe 15 feet from where I'm sitting right now, which was basically where I fell asleep that night. So when I found my car like that in the morning, I'm in a safe place now. Like, I let my guard way down, and I didn't lock my car. That was my fault. But I felt so violated And I couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. I felt so dirty. And I don't know. I think I took 3 showers that day. I put on mm-hmm. one of my masks. And all of a sudden, I had myself convinced that whoever had ransacked my car had pissed all over my masks. Right. I was in a tizzy. And everything was like downward spiral after that. There was no way anyone could convince me otherwise. Mm-hmm. And not until the next day did I understand why I reacted that way. You mm-hmm. know?
It makes total sense. Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, damn him. mm-hmm. All right, you got this. Next time, you're not even going to act like that. Well, there isn't going to be a next time. But if there is, you know. yeah.
Yeah.
And that prompted me to bring my permanent restraining order to the new city that I live in because I hadn't done that yet.
See? And that's the thing, too. Another goosebump yeah. moment. It's like it was a tiny nudge to remind you that, you know, your guard can be. You know, it still has to be somewhat up, but not that you're freaking out in that regard, but always knowing that your sanity and your protection has to be first. And when people look at you and like, oh, you're being paranoid. No, bitch, I'm not. I'm being smart, because before I wasn't smart because I trusted and I believed. And now the person I trust and believe is myself, my gut, and everything. So good for you. So is that like all in place then now? Back in place?
Yes. Well, it just, you know, it was, I have to, like, if you move, you have to notify the new town. And I, you know, I've mm-hmm. kept it with me. I've got like 30 copies, but mm-hmm. I just didn't want to bring it to this new place. It's a much bigger city. And I just didn't want to, you know, have to announce it, because, you know, he has everything that he carries with his whole name, and then I'm part of that, like, you know, to an outsider. I was associated with this person at one point in time. I, you know, I right. was married to that person that they're looking at, and that is not the person I was married to, but like, whatever, that's a whole nother story. But, you know, what you see, that's not who I am. And I don't like,
right.
That.
Right.
You know, I'm not associated anymore, and I should not be guilty unassociated. So that was, you know, that I walked out of there feeling a little bit yuck, but I came home and I had a long bath, and I said, it's done. What's done is done. It's there. And you know, it's really the right thing to do.
It is. I mean, it's really no different than remembering to lock your car. Yeah. It's that yeah. simple. Like, that has to go with you in the same regards of, I have to remember to lock my car, and I have to remember that, you know, how I'm feeling is, you know, legitimate. So I know that that is an excellent point, though, that you don't want to be associated with that anymore. But I really feel like, too, that's another lesson, because the minute that we do let our guard down, you know, then it would be on yes. you. They would immediately put it back on you, you know, like, well, you should have, or you mm-hmm. didn't. And, you know, I just, that's what we struggle with all right. the time.
Don't, yeah, I've heard that enough. I've heard that enough.
Right.
But now at least I know if, and, you know, that is if anything ever were to be happening here that involved that person and I required help, they know that that I have that order in effect and,
right.
you know, before they get here. So yeah, it's a good thing.
And that's important. Yeah. That's very yeah. important. Yes. So switching yeah. gears. So how is everything in the new place? Are you getting all settled and got your routine up and going?
Yeah. You know, I feel like every few weeks I sort of resettle, because, I still am not completely unpacked, and I'm still sorting through some things that I'm not sure if I want to store away for, you know, future residents, or like, you know, I just, but yeah, I'm settling in. My sister and I, we busted our butts here for a month painting every nook and cranny. And my landlord is he's super sweet. Let me do whatever we wanted. So the colors are all soothing and chill, and I'm happy here. I'm very happy here. It's very quiet. So routine settling into one, that will probably take me some time to like get an actual routine. Because I'm, you know, I'm even more alone than I was in July, and like not more alone, like in a sad way, but, now my son lives, in the vineyard. So, you know, he's a little bit away and I can't just take a ride to see him. My daughter is working now, which is awesome. And so she doesn't have as much time on her hands. And so I'm like really learning what it's like to be Amy. That's like just Amy. And this is a good place to learn it. It's nice and quiet.
I love that.
Yeah. It's really a great space.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's all so much change at one time. I remember us talking about that over text, you know, like everything that's happened, you know, that just the boom, boom, boom. And so I'm actually really glad that you're in this new place. And I know it's hard that you don't have the people that you care about close by, but I really feel like that's just another level of the healing and shedding of everything, really, you know, like, yeah. And I'm like covered in goosebumps and I'm not really sure where you want to go with all the conversation, but I do know that every time I think about like, and I don't even remember the exact date. I'll have to go back and look. I hope I still have it. But like the minute that I inboxed you on Messenger, cause I could tell something was just going on. I mean, just watching you through this whole time and you're just magnificent and you're just, you know, you've really, really bloomed. That's another word for me for in 2021. And I actually just found these earrings on Instagram. I was like, oh, I need those. And I saw the price and I was like, girl, I can't get those. Well, you know what the name was? It was Bloom in Grace. Oh, and I'm like, oh, bitch, I'm getting those. Yeah. And I really just feel like you're so blooming. You're not just growing. You are fucking blooming. And I just really admire you for putting it all out there and continuing to keep up with everything because I know your shit is heavy and you know, it's, you have been through so fucking much and you know, your selfies with your mugs and all that, we need it just as much as you do, you know, really.
It helps me, you know, and when I like hear that it helps other people too, that makes me happier. Like, there's nothing greater than having someone pay you a compliment for just being yourself, you know?
Right.
And I appreciate in return, you know, all the positive vibes that people throw back in my direction on their own without even knowing that I'm there to accept them. I love it. And if I can keep influencing and keep being influenced by all these wonderful people that like are in my group, my soup, I don't even know. I love it. This, you know, this year is like, it just keeps, stuff just keeps falling. And it's always the heaviest when it hits. And I somehow keep managing to push through. And I know it's because of you, your support, your love, your care, my other friends like you that do the same. We have to be there for each other throughout all of these times. Like, and what I've learned really, like the people that really, really care are the people that are going to always, always be there. And they're going to know that you need them. And mm-hmm. I have really learned who those people are. And, you know, it changes, it ebbs and it flows because life is like that. And like, I know who is you know, busy throughout the day doing this and who's got that and who's whatever. And if they fall off, they'll come back. I don't know. I've reconnected with some old friends this year, through the loss of a great friend. So still, like always, I try to find that silver lining in every situation because there's got to be one.
Mm-hmm. And there is. And it's, you know, I just think that, you know, even through what we've been through connecting with each other and the group that we were a part of and the ebbs and the flows and the fall offs and the get back together and the, you know, the arguments and the, you know, misunderstandings, I think people gravitate back to one another that are supposed to be together. And honestly, I don't know. I just feel like there's a reason that we gravitated back towards each other. There's a reason that, you know, what you've gone through and what I've gone through is somewhat in my head connected. Mm-hmm. Sounds really kind of morbid, but I really do feel like it is. But yeah, you know, the thing that I always try to remember when I go on these fucking rants, which I hardly ever do, but is to know that, you know, everybody is dealing with their shit on top of COVID, on top of the news, you know, like people don't have money. People are not being able to see their parents. People are, you know, struggling to just get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I find comfort in your post too, that, you know, it's real. I don't think people understand the power of vulnerability and real shit that, you know, it goes a long way. It goes a long fucking way in my mind anyway.
Yeah. I like to be mostly rainbows and unicorns and all that stuff. And I think allowing myself to be vulnerable lets me be even more rainbows and unicorns outside of that.
Absolutely.
That I don't know how to be different. I don't want to be mm-hmm. different. So
yep.
I like who I am.
Yeah. And I do think, you know, there is my thing too, is like, you know, I feel much better when I am rainbows and unicorns, but there is, like, I just posted from a girl who I've never met. I really want to do her on a podcast too, but she's going through some shit herself. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, but have you ever dropped a fuck you on somebody that really deserved it? And I thought, you know, yeah, like that is okay also. Yep. Like I'm allowed to be fucking skippity doodah, but you know, sometimes I want to be like, fuck you. Yep. That's not okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I totally get that.
I think I saw, I think I screenshot it. This sign, and I think it says like 50% namaste and 50% fuck off. Like,
yeah.
Yes. I remember I used to have that cover photo where I'm like all zenned out and flipping the bird. It just, so you know, sometimes it's okay. That's part of it. You have to express your feelings and get them out. And you know, if just dropping a fuck you on someone helps then.
And you know, there is a difference. Like I try to tell my kids too, like, okay, if you're a cusser and you're cussing when you're telling a story and, you know, you're being funny and whatever, to me, I'm not offended. Now, to other people, though, when they hear a teenager cuss, they're immediately offended. And I say, well, in your defense, you're not saying to them, you're a bitch, fuck you, suck my whatever. Yep. You know what I mean? You're saying, you're just, that's part of your rhetoric. So, but for other people, they take offense. But when I say, and I remember saying this to an ex-boyfriend, it's like, it's so different to say fuck off versus fuck you. Like, fuck yeah. you is very personal. Yeah. Fuck you is very, like, intentional. When fuck off, it's like, I don't have the time. So yeah, like all of that to me is very interesting too, because it's like people take it personally when I'm like, I'm just like venting, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I say fuck you, I probably mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's okay. It's okay. I think 2020 has definitely taught me that, you know, not everything is rainbows and unicorns, even when I have pushed through to make it that way.
Right.
And I know that my post yesterday about, you know, the fake and everything, it offends me. And I think that's where I've shed people and lifestyles in the regard that I have never wanted to be around fake people. I don't want that fake energy. It literally offends me and it drains me. I can instantly feel something's off.
Yep.
And I get offended. I get fucking offended.
Yeah, it's almost like it's something that you can just take and throw it away. And mm-hmm. So that's why you shutting it off. Bye. Like, fake is so gross. It's disgusting.
It is. It is.
One thing about being alone a lot is I can't fake myself out, you know?
Right.
And there's nobody here to fake me out. But there's a lot less fake in my world these days. A lot less mm-hmm. fake. And mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, with your selfies that you always do, you have so many great coffee mugs, which, like, literally that's part of, and I feel like that too. And I think it's inspired me, because every time I go to make my tea in the morning, and I only drink half of it, and then I leave it on the counter, and Kaylin basically bitches at me like she's my husband. But it's intentional of which mug I pick. Yes. Like, this, the one that I reach for, mentally or not, like, I'm like, oh, that's the kind of day I'm going to have. That was automatically the one I wanted. So it's got to be in your head that you're like, this is my intention for the day.
Yeah.
So what would you say?
Moved. My mugs are kind of moved.
Yeah. They are.
Oh, gosh. You know, I have... So this morning, it's really funny. I first, I had commented on that old post from 6 years ago that you sent me. And I don't know if you noticed, but I sent a picture, and in the picture, my mug had a walrus on it and it said warm wishes. And then all of a sudden I realized it was Tuesday. And
right?
The last couple of Tuesdays I have screwed up and not used my Taco Tuesday So I was like, oh no, we're having a good Tuesday, Amy. It is Tuesday. So I went and then I got my Tuesday mug and poured my walrus into the taco truck, and it was like, all right, now we can start the day properly.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I have I have some really cool mugs that I received as gifts this year. I have one of my favorite mugs. People get offended by it, mostly men, always men. Kiss today in the dick. And that's one of my favorites. It's a big mug and it's nice and bold. And it says kick today in the dick. And every time I post that mug, there is at least one guy that says, where's the one that says, you know, pussy, like, go buy it. You have to drink out of your own mug that says kick today in the pussy. Like, I don't care what you drink out of.
Yeah.
And it
that is so funny.
You
too.
In the dick. It doesn't say kick Tom, Dick, and Harry in the dick. It says kick today in the dick. So why are you offended anyway?
I mean, come on. But to be fair, if some guy was holding a mug that said kick today in the pussy, I'd be like, motherfucker. So I get his point, whoever he is, but it,
them.
I feel like it's just an in to be in your DMs anyway, to be like, hey, baby, because dudes will turn that into a, hey, do you want to go have cocktails? No, I don't, because you don't like my mug, mm-hmm. so we'll never work out. Exactly. It's so funny.
Maybe I will look into getting a mug that says that, and, you know, whatever, it's a mug. It's the means of caffeinating myself.
Right. It's a vessel. Yeah, calm down. I love your accent just went like full blown. And you're like, it's a fucking mug. I love it. I love it. That East Coast shit is real. It is so funny though, because I was just looking on, Kaylin and I always like hang out not always, but when we hang out, we're watching YouTube, we're laughing about stupid shit. And there's these two guys that we were supposed to see, like, quote, in concert, and it got, I don't even know when it's going to be, but Cody and Noel, and they're basically like these two doofuses who are so funny. And I just happened to click on his Insta story yesterday or the day before, and he is selling these mugs that these words that have come out of his mouth, somebody turn them into mugs. And they're so funny. I'll have to send them to you because one of them says dad dick. And I'm like, wait, why is that one calling my name so much? I'm like, is this a metaphor? I'm like, wait, I don't get this, but I totally want the mug that says dad dick. I don't know why. But there's so many other ones too. I'm like, yeah, Amy needs one of these for sure.
In my Amazon cart, I have a big white mug that says hashtag quack. Like, I haven't gotten that one yet.
I always think of that when my phone types ducking instead of fucking. I'm like, really? Yep. We've been together, dude, for like 20 years, and you don't know what I'm trying to say. Yep. It's so appalling. It's
like quack, and you know. Whatever. Right? Oh, but you know, I have mugs that have like meaning too. Like I have one of my dad's old mugs from his place of work when he was still alive in Pennsylvania. And that one I don't use a lot. That one I use like on his birthday or on the day he died. Something like that. I have my grandfather's mug. He passed away in 1990. And it looks like an old bean pot. And it just says Jim. And
I love
like,
that.
When I'm nostalgic, you know, again, it might be his birthday. I don't really know, but it's not often. Those I push in the back. I really just started drinking out of them. I would use them as like pen holders because I never wanted to break them. Mm-hmm. But I thought about it, which was something I learned a few years ago, going through stuff and like getting rid of things. I had all these treasures from my grandmother that she had made in ceramics, and some of them were broken or chipped, and I was holding on to them to glue them back together. And my mom said to me, you know, if Grammy was alive, she would be pissed that you were gluing her stuff back together. Just throw it away. And so I was like, yeah. And then I thought about all the dishes that I had that my grandfather had bought me when I was like 12. Why are they in a box? Why don't I use them? Because they're special. Right? Okay. So now I got rid of all my mix and match stuff now that I'm here and I'm a big girl in my own place and I can have nice things. I use my china every day. So I use these special mugs, and if they break, they're broken. They're not my grandfather. They're not my grandmother, and they're not my dad. They are special things and I will take good care of them, but you have to use them. It's like you said, like, what are we doing? We're going to, when we couldn't leave our house, like let's not get dressed and put on makeup and do our hair. Like, let's sit around like schleps all day. No, you have to use the good things. You have to wear the nice clothes and all that stuff. You have to.
Absolutely. And you know how I feel about that too. And I just think it's very intentional that, you know, when we're thinking of someone or, you know, the type of day we want to have. I mean, we literally have to set that tone for ourselves. And that's why, you know, a handful of people now are like, oh, you're the best dressed at Dillon's. And I'm like, I'm not doing it for stature. This is for me. When I look good, I feel good, and I am good. I'm just a better person. And that's just how, you know, I grew up. My mom was actually in her yearbook was, you know, when they used to do the most whatever, and she was the best dressed. And I honestly think it just fell onto me that way, that it was dressing nice and it was art, you know, especially considering how as growing up, I was considered fat. And so I was always looking for alternate ways to kind of reinvent my body, if that even makes sense. But
it makes 100% sense to me.
Yeah. And so now even more, like I have so many clothes, but like I posted today, it's like, but I know where all my shit is. Like even looking at the two piles on the floor right now that are both clean, I know exactly where my shit is. And so when I don't know where something is, I'm like, okay, this is like a something from the universe that you're not supposed to wear it or has bad energy.
Right.
And there have been so many things that I've actually gotten rid of because, you know, I had a horrific fight with what's his face, or it has this emotional connection to it that I'm like, I'm not there anymore. I got to get rid of it. So the mug thing to me, and I think people, if they paid attention more to those little things in the morning to start their day, just the very first thought that when you're in the shower, like that's going to set the mood for your entire day, if not your week. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, the mug thing, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You know, it's like when you pick out your outfit for the day, it's all intentional. 100%.
And subconscious at the same time, you know, that you go into it thinking, well, I want to feel a certain way, or something that I'm drawn to, I love so much, is that I'll be drawn to an outfit. And then I'll look back at Facebook. I'm like, holy shit, I wore this a year ago or 4 years ago, the same day.
Yes. What is always cracks me up. That happens to me all the time as well.
Isn't it so wild? Like, wait, what is going on? Like, what is the universe trying to tell me then? You know, I just pay attention to that shit. I feel like if we all paid attention more to that kind of thing,
yeah,
we would understand each other better. You know, it's really in those little idiosyncrasies of each other that make us who we are, you know?
Absolutely. I, you know, even like cooking food, something that I won't make, like this past weekend, I made pastizio, which is Greek lasagna. That, you know, my son wanted it. I said, okay. Well, I made it. He went home to the vineyard. And then in my memories was me talking about wanting to make pastizio like 4 years ago. I'm like, I just made it today.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, universe.
Yeah, universe shit. Well, I say universe shit, you say universe speaks, so
yeah, one of us is the same.
One of us is a little bit more unnerving with their words, but yeah. Oh, and speaking of clothes, I'm sitting here folding, so the shirt that I wore, I think it was Christmas Day, and it's like all fancy with gold and silver. I got this at Goodwill a couple years ago, and I forgot that I had it in my teeny tiny little closet that's overfilled. Well, apparently I dried it, and I'm looking at it right now. It is literally a half shirt.
Are you going to be sending it off to Kenna?
I mean, I don't even think it would cover anyone's boobs. It's so tiny. I'm laughing hysterically, like, okay, that's some universe shit that grandma, you're not wearing that ever again.
Oh, yes. That was one time only thing. You know,
poor little guy.
Like, you know, it's really funny. Last year, so when you were talking about like always trying to change it up to like reinvent yourself because, you know, of other people's comments or whatever.
Right.
I always tried to wear something that was nicer. Like I felt like if I was dressed nicer, I wouldn't be viewed as just some fat girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that was like, yeah, in my head, it was always like that. And when I look back on the clothes, the different clothes that I wore in my heavier, younger days, they were all very bold, bright patterns, which I love bright, bold colors still, but like just the totally different style. And I don't even know that it was my style. I mean, I guess it was in style because I store, but, you know, I feel though, like I always like to dress nice because yes, you feel good. Like for many reasons, a lot of it, like that crazy stuff about covering and reinventing. But it was funny last year, when I was trying to pick out what I was going to wear for my, my brother's wake and funeral, I was having a conversation with my mom and my sister, and I was just like, I don't own any black dresses. Like, I don't have any black dresses that fit me, you guys. I used to have to wear black to work. You know, not the salon I was working at when COVID happened, and I'm still saying COVID too, but
I love it. My dad will be so proud.
I'm glad he'll be so proud. We had to wear black, and it was just like, I didn't really care for it. But so everything that I used to own was black. And once I got out of that, I was like, give me back my colors. And then I could start buying clothes that I really liked, because I didn't just have to wear a black shirt. But so we joked. I was like, I don't own any black dresses. Oh, except for these dresses that someone lent me for my show. So like jokingly, I put on this like one shoulder strap like dress, and it was all bedazzled and like, you know, oh. So I sent them pictures and I was like, oh, is this a little too formal? And my mom said, well, you have always had to be the fancy one, Amy.
Oh, nice.
Oh, at first I was like, am I supposed to be offended? And then I'm like, no. And you know what? No, I am the fancy one. You're right. Like, and not on purpose, and not because, I mean, yes, on purpose, but not because I needed to one up or whatever, but like, it just always made me feel good. Like, I love to stick the, you know, goofy things in my hair. Like when my kids were younger, we all made ugly sweaters. And then the next year, my niece made me an ugly skirt to match my sweater and stuck poinsettias in my hair. Like, I love that, whether it's goofy dressing up or fun and fancy dressing up. I love having a reason to dress up and feel good.
Absolutely. And I really just think there's a testament to, we've been taught to save the china, save that for, you know, something fancy or a rainy day. What does that even mean? No, I'm not saving it for a rainy day. I'm going to fucking wear it on a sunny day when I'm out and about. Yeah. And I don't give a shit. Like, I just think too, it depends on where you live. I mean, I live in a little podunk city here in Kansas, but I do think the more that, you know, we are free to just do that, other people will follow. Like, mm-hmm. It's okay. It is okay. Like, I see some of these guys too, and they're younger, and, you know, he's got this sweatshirt on with these roses around the hood, and he's got his fire Vans and a hat. And I'm like, dude, I know I haven't seen you wore that before,
right?
Or wear that before. And I think to myself, if we can just impress for all of us to be ourselves on each other, and unless you're an asshole, obviously, but it's in those little moments that, you know, tomorrow may not come, and you got to wear what you want to fucking wear and do it now, you know?
Yeah. It's like me doing no angels in my shiny jacket. Like,
yes, hell yeah.
I have nowhere to wear this shiny jacket. I have two beautiful shiny jackets. Like, I need to wear them, please.
I know. And I'm like, you're like, I know you don't appreciate this. I'm like, hell yeah. Yes. And my ex coworker, she's like, she sent me pictures of her shoes on New Year's Eve. She's like, girl, I know you will appreciate these. I'm like, hell yeah. Those are shoes I'd wear to work if I could.
Right.
So yeah, I want to always inspire people to impress upon them, like, you know, there is no box to be put in except for the one that society keeps telling us that we're supposed to be in. And the more that we can feel free to be ourselves, I mean, I just feel like the more understanding, better communication, and we'll all just be a lot happier, you know?
Yeah. And like you said, like small town stuff, like now that I'm in a bigger city, like I was in a city before, but if you saw, you know, a girl walking down the street or a boy, whatever, like in something that was different and not what everybody else wore, you'd be like, oh wow, now the city I'm in, you see somebody that dresses like a quote unquote normal person, and that's the unexpected. There's so much more variety here, which I actually appreciate, but people are too worried about what other people think when it comes to fashion and
or anything. Honestly, even, you know, with everything with politics and stuff, it's like, okay, I am one of those people, I will listen to what you have to say, but the minute it crosses the line to hatred and misunderstanding, we're done. Like, I can appreciate your viewpoint so long as it doesn't cross the boundary where I say, nope, that sounds like hatred, that sounds like prejudice. And the same thing with how we're dressed, you know, I used to say that even the last job I had, that these clients would be like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you don't know my life. You don't know where I've come from. Right. And just as I don't judge you where you've come from, you can't say to me, you know, that you're judging me in that way, because you literally have no idea what my background is. And so, yeah, I love more and more too, that's part of this whole podcast, the people you may know. I just want to get to know people in their whys. It's so just intriguing to me. Like, why do you like that? Why do you live there? Why do you wear that? And not in a disrespectful way, but like, I'm just fucking curious, right, dude. That is fucking awesome.
Yeah. What drew you to that too? Cause like some of the things I'm just like, that is so cool.
Yeah, and so opposite from me, but it's fucking intriguing, and I can respect it. And the more I know about it, too, it makes so much sense. You know, there's a big difference between being prejudiced and racist. And the biggest thing is that we are all prejudiced. We prejudge people before we know them because we go by what they look like or something they said or whatever. And then the minute that you're like, oh, well, that makes total sense why you're like that, or that you chose that, or you do that. So, yeah, I love being enlightened that way so, so much. So, so much.
The influence, too, like, a lot of times, too, you get to know people and then you start to understand them, too, and learn why, like the influence that they have had on them, whether it's been good or bad, and why they've gone in different directions from their family or stayed in the same direction, or it's like, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but like my daughter and I, we basically have the same style, but then she's her own person and she does her own things, and like she's so creative with her makeup, and like I would never, ever try to wear it the way she does, but it looks wonderful on her. I don't know. And my son, it's funny, speaking of fashion and whatever, I'm going off a little bit here, but now that he's like moved out on his own and whatever, like he wears jackets and boots and real pants, and like he's a man with his own style, and I dig his style. It's probably really influenced by his girlfriend, and that's okay because I really like it. But I see bits of me in them, though. I see my influence in the good ways. And like my daughter's fashion, she's much braver than I was at her age, and I'm happy about that. But we grew up differently too. So that's a lot of why we choose what we choose. You know, I think I'm far more modest as an adult than I was as an adult in my 40s. Was in my late 20s, but I also didn't really have a choice. Like the clothes that fit me the way they fit me, I didn't like what I had as options. So it was like, oh, maybe this is a little revealing of the cleave, you know? And now I'm like, cover it up. Like, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I think too, the evolution of people, the growing, the blooming of people really, you know, sets the choices kind of unlimited or more strict. And I feel complete opposite from you. Like I grew up in a military family. I mean, even when I was 30 years old, and I was 33 to be exact, and I had Kaylin, and I came down and I had a sunburn, and I was, you know, I thought I looked amazing, and my shirt came down, and my mom was, we had a friend coming over, an old friend. And my mom's like, you need to go upstairs and change that shirt. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And she's like, your whole cleavage is out. And I mean, I don't have cleavage, maybe more now, but then I was like, it was a chest, you know, right, like with a sunburn. And my mom was like, no, it's inappropriate. And so for me, I always grew up kind of being taught, you know, more is more and more is less. And I also didn't have choices then too. I tell Kaylin all the time that, you know, there were not jeans to fit girls that had bodies like me with this tiny waist and a big ass.
No,
there just weren't.
No,
nothing was available. I mean, the shorts and tights thing with cutoff jeans, I mean, that was something from Europe I brought here, and people are like, whoa, what is that? And I'm like, this is the only thing that fucking fits me. This is the only thing that hides who I am.
Everything was just but straight still... and boxy, and like you had to fit in the box. I never fit in the box.
I never fit in the box. And my very first pair of jeans were when I was a senior in high school from Banana Republic. They had a teeny tiny bit of stretch in them and a high waist. And I wore those fuckers as much as I could. But that was the very first pair of jeans I had. Mm-hmm. And then even in college, like things really didn't fit me well. And so now as I'm older and, you know, I explain to people like, I don't work out. I used to, but I am proud of my body in the regard that I've had two kids and I'm never allowing a man or society to be like, you're fat. You're out of shape. No, bitch. I feel great. I'm going to tuck my shirt so far into my jeans that when you walk by, you're going to see the imprint of my t-shirt down past my ass, but you're going to see my ass. You're probably going to see some cellulite. And that's because I'm proud of this body, you know? And at the same time, it's like, I don't have to have booty shorts. I don't have to have the V-neck, but I feel like the older I've gotten, the less modest I am because I feel like I've worked hard not to give a shit. I really grew up, like we talked about this recently about the eating disorders and all that when we, actually a handful of people reached out to me about that. And I'm just shocked that, you know, even family members have told women like you need to lose weight or you're fat or your society will never like you or you'd have a boyfriend if.
And, oh my God.
What?
You have such a pretty face. Do you know how many times I heard
right.
my face was?
Oh my God. I mean, to be fair, you do.
Thank you.
But yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, she's really pretty, but you know, yeah, I can remember, this is funny. I thought about it after we were texting about it. The different things like triggers you asked me, in the text, like, you know, and so one of the things for me, growing up, I remember in elementary school, for whatever reason, we were all stepping on the scale. I think, you know, the nurse was taking our weight. And I remember that the girl in front of me weighed 67 pounds and I weighed 85. And I was horrified, horrified. Little did I know that, you know, those thunder thighs were going to be the same size they are today because they're all muscle, but also that she didn't have any muscle. We are not taught at a young age, or we were not taught back then about muscle or anything. It was like being a rack of bones is what you wanted to be. And I was never going to be a rack of bones. So I always felt different. And I remember, you know, I've always loved food. And when we...
Yeah, you said rack of bones. I'm like, now I want ribs.
Drool.
And probably some mozzarella sticks. Yes, I mean, let's be real.
Yes, there must be.
But yeah.
But I remember my grandmother, we used to go to her house in the morning before school. And the three of us... we had to eat a box of cereal every morning. Like she liked to feed her kids, her grandkids, eat, eat, eat. You know, food was just like, you do it and you don't get up until your plate is clean. And so I would clean my plate. And I remember times that we all couldn't get up until everyone's plate was clean. So I would start cleaning other plates. You know, because I was eating. That was something I was good at. So I recall my grandmother's next door neighbor had a daughter my age, and I went over for dinner. I'm sure more than once, but I remember this one time specifically that her mom got up and scraped her plate onto my plate, and I ate it. Because my grandmother told her it's just the weirdest thing. Like my memory is probably foggy, like as to why she actually got up and did it, but I remember her doing it and I ate it. And she was like, Amy eats everything, like Mikey, you know,
like, right.
But I was always good at eating. And
honestly though, now what you know about food, like eating is not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
It, it, you should be eating. I tell Kaylin all the time, like, we should be eating like 6 times a day, just smaller meals and better shit for us. But we are definitely taught like this whole sit down dinner and kids grow up better when they eat with their families. I'm like, no, like, I stand up while Kaylin sits and we have a great time. What you have, what you want, I have what I want. And I think that mentality too, my parents are the same way. Like, I remember being in trouble, like, you're going to eat the stew. And I'm like, no, the fuck I'm not. I think it smells like fucking dead feet and I'm not eating it. I don't want to eat it. And I think honestly at that point I was like against meat. Like, all I ate was chicken. I hated steak. I hated all that shit. And you know, we should be allowed to pick and choose what we fucking want to eat, because now we're being told, oh, you shouldn't eat that, and micro and macro. And, you know, I'm like, oh my God, my head is spinning. Seriously.
A couple of years ago, my son said to me, Mom, can I not have squash this year? Thanksgiving. And I said, why? Yes, I really don't like it. I said, you've been eating squash your whole life. He goes, I know. Like, why didn't you tell me sooner?
Yeah, exactly.
He had to, because I always put it on his plate. Well, if he told me he didn't like it, I wouldn't have given it to him. But I do appreciate that he just kept eating it.
Yeah. I mean, Kaylin barely eats any vegetables. McKenna now, she's different, you know, because she loves to cook. And, you know, the good thing about that, her dad has taught her that, and her stepmom's really good about, like, well, maybe not, because she tells me, she's like, oh, I'm not the greatest cook, I'm taking her to McDonald's. But McKenna's taste buds are different than Kayla's. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is, like, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. So when I cook pork chops and my kids love them, that's really the only good thing I cook. And then I ask Kaylin, what do you want for dinner tonight? And she's like, not pork chops. I'm like, okay. But that honesty is so important, you know, like, we used to be told as kids, well, this ain't a goddamn restaurant. I'm like, well, it should be, because I don't want to eat fucking stew. I don't want to eat meatloaf. I hate meatloaf. I think it's disgusting. I always think it's disgusting. And that's not to say that then my kids may think it's great, right, but I don't like it. You know, so why should we all be having the same exact thing for dinner? Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, too, is our body styles and our blood type and, you know, our moods even. Like, I don't want to be forced to eat what you're hungry for. No. Yeah. So, and the eating thing too, I remember vividly when my dad, I had just moved from being like popular and really growing up as a kid and moved to this new place. And I had no friends. My dad was off to war, like big part of the Desert Storm. And I couldn't stand my mom, which, what the fuck? Who doesn't stand my mom? She's the best thing on earth. And I would come home. I would eat a whole thing of Pringles and a whole box of whatever the Keebler Elves cookies were. I mean, that was like a regular thing because I was depressed. I was alone. I was sad.
It felt good. Like in the moment, they comfort.
It did. And when I tell Kaylin that, she's like, I don't buy it. I'm like, yeah, I was depressed. I hated life. Mm-hmm. Food was the only thing that comforted me. And now, I mean, I'm still not the best eater. But I do have those conversations with my kids a lot. And I'm really, really proud of both my kids having good self body images, because they are complete opposite in how they are built.
Mm-hmm.
Two dads, been married twice, whatever, mark it down.
And mine are totally opposite too, but you know.
Yeah. The thing about that too is, like, as far as, you know, what they should eat or shouldn't eat, I mean, it's, you know, when you look at body style and body type, I mean, we really all should not be eating the same thing.
No. Individuality is a real thing. Like, everyone is, you know, everyone is affected by everything differently, whether it's taste,
yes,
sound, sight, feel, whatever it is, everything, it's different. I'm not going to smell the same smell that you smell. And as, like, when we love a perfume on someone else, it's not going to smell like that on us, because we have a different, we have a different smell of our own. Everyone is so different from each other, even though we're all here. And that's, it takes us forever. I mean, it's taken me 45 years, like, to really understand that everyone is their own person.
Yeah. And to make our imprint on each other is only at the acceptance of that other person, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I feel that way with my kids so much. Even like we were talking about the whole style thing. I just, I always want to encourage my kids to feel comfortable in their skin with whatever they wear, because I was always told, no, you can't wear that. And I think that's probably influenced a lot of why I do dress the way I do, because I'm not going to be told you can't wear that. I'm like, yes, the fuck I am. And people are like, you really going to wear those heels to work? I'm like, yes, I do better in heels. That's just my body, you know? So yeah, I think the more that we kind of accept people's individuality, it's this 100% gateway for communication and acceptance and understanding, which we are all lacking at this time with society, unfortunately. But I believe we'll get there. I really do believe we'll get
there. It's, you know, every day we're a little bit closer, you know. You just have to keep putting in the work and hope that as we put in the work, others want to join in and put in their own work, you know, because we need to be a little more united in that front. But, you know, my kids the same. Like I'm very happy that they have a positive self image, like that they feel so much better about themselves at the ages that they are at than I did when I was that age. And that makes me very happy. It makes me happy to see them doing things that, you know, being more their age, because I also feel like I grew up really early. Like I was like a 9-year-old adult, you know, and I never wanted that for them. And that's part of, you know, like sometimes I would get frustrated when in their later teen years, like, because they weren't doing these things that they should just do. Well, because I always did them for them, but that's because I wanted them to just be kids with zero responsibility. It kind of bit me in the butt a little bit, but we're relearning and they're getting it now at their own pace. And that is fine. But like my son with his bodybuilding and his confidence, it amazes me. I'm so impressed by him. And even moving from home and starting his life in a whole new land, he continues to strive and reach for the same dreams and goals. And, you know, my daughter, like, she always has just shined, and she's finally really seeing her own shine, I think. And that makes me very happy. And I mean, what do we want for them? We want happiness. We want health. We want peace and love and all the good. And so, you know, for them to have that and for your girls to have that, and, you know, it makes me happy.
Yeah. And I think too, it's a really kind of skewed line sometimes being a parent, but also allowing these kids to be your friends in regard, you know, like you bonding with your son over the whole, you know, bodybuilding and the bonding that you've done with your daughter is completely different than it was years ago. And the same with my kids, like it's ever evolving, just like any relationship. And I look at like the things that I like and my girls are like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't have any desire. And I'm like, okay, now that you say that to me, it makes total sense. But parents, I think, are so stuck in that kind of realm, like, well, you will do this and this is how you're going to be raised. And I'm like, well, to me, I feel like my kids are going to be great human beings because I've allowed them to have a voice at such a young age. Especially since I've put them in this predicament, you know, with being divorced and stuff, I do take responsibility for that. But I also think it's been a huge blessing for both of them that it's not the dynamic that is, quote, normal. I mean, it's been hell, obviously, with the way our dynamic is, but it's also been this really underlying grateful thing that these girls have been able to grow in a different way than other kids that have a, quote, normal family, you know? So, yeah. So let's get back to that really quickly. So how's the whole bodybuilding thing going? Are you back on that track to compete?
So I am hoping to compete with my son in June. So
awesome.
Yeah. I haven't been to the gym in probably a month. I've been not heavy training. I've been doing a lot of yoga and sort of chilling on the heavy weights.
I had a sort of mental thing where that I had to deal with, like just sort of had to get through the holidays knowing I wasn't going to see my family, and it really made me sad. So that sort of shut me down a bit, but I did keep active with my yoga, which is 100%.
Very
Yeah,
important.
like that's a whole mental thing for me. But I this week, so yesterday I trained. I went for my walk and I did yoga. Today I am going to train after we talk. And yeah, so this is the week that I started back up. I had to take a little break, and it was like, this is the time to take the break. There's no way I can take the break in March. So this is the time.
Well, and I think too that, you've got to be easy with yourself too, like we said. I mean, you've been through a whole hell of a lot of shit in a small amount of time. And so the yoga is most important for that mental health. And it's bad enough, like I said, with the news and everything, but everybody's dealing with their own little, trauma.
Absolutely.
And so I'm proud of you that you're still on that page. And if you were to change your mind, like my coworker at work, my supervisor, basically, she had her baby early, and then I was helping my sister, and I was off work for a week. So we were both gone like right before Christmas. And then like Christmas at the grocery store, retail, it's fucking insane. And so I'm just now kind of getting my own groove, but she came in with her new baby and her husband, and I was just like, girl, if you don't decide to come back, I am not going to be offended. Like, this is your life now. And I could just see it click in her head that she appreciated that I even threw that out there, because I feel like, once you say something out loud, people are holding you accountable. And if you were to change your mind about training, like, that's okay. Like, it is okay. And for you to be open with yourself and be like, I needed a fucking break, and I might still need another break, but I do find kind of such respect for you that you hold yourself to these fucking agendas and you kick that shit in the ass. I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing that you can do the transformations that you do. And I just want you to be very, very proud of yourself for everything that you're doing and going through.
Thank you. I have my moments, but sometimes I can take a step back and look from the outside in and be like, that was pretty awesome. I am proud of who I am. I did go through these things, but I think that when I go through things and because I'm like constantly transforming, it's just like a constant evolving thing. Looking from the outside in, it's like, I don't know. I appreciate the things that I've been through. And I appreciate where I am now more, probably because I've been through them. I set a goal for myself pre-show. Like I have a pre-show goal, that I am going to do a photo shoot for myself. Like, I will probably never share these pictures, and that's okay. I don't even know what they're going to look like. Maybe I want to share them with the world. I don't know. But I didn't do anything after my show. Like, I have my stage photos, and they're not the best angles. This person is just shooting you walking across the stage. You're not actually posing and trying to look good. And so I sometimes look at my show and think, ew. And I don't like that. So I want something that I can look at that makes me feel proud, even just in my own house. Like this you worked for. And I don't want to look like I will when I'm on stage, because that's not real life. This time around, it will be a whole different type of competition that I will be in. So the stakes are a little bit higher, and it's going to be much harder. But I'm going to do my very best because that's all I can do. So sometime in April, I'm hoping. Actually, I'm not going to say I'm hoping. Sometime in April, I'm going to do that, and then from there, I will keep working towards the show. And for all I know, they could decide to cancel it. I don't know. But my goal is to you know, eventually be on stage with my son. I would like it to be this year. I wanted it to be 2020. I also thought I was going to already be a certified yoga instructor.
Right? Yeah. I forgot about that.
So it just keeps, you know, just keeps flip-flopping around. And so, you know, I just keep trying to make little goals. It's like, so I thought if I can make something for myself that's a shorter term goal than the 6 months from now, I'm like, little bits, baby steps. How do you say it? Tiny steps, big picture.
Yes, yeah. Ma'am. I mean, that's the only way that we can't get overwhelmed, and to know that every little step does make a difference. And the more that you realize it, it's not as hard. It's not as overwhelming, you know? So many times we're like, we're just set to that goal. And I'm horrible at setting goals because I feel like something always got in the way or whatever. And it's because I was trying to look at it too big. And so just that little tiny dance down the hallway to the kitchen is something towards the bigger picture, you know?
Yeah, baby.
So, yeah. Absolutely. And you're going to rock it out. And so with the whole yoga thing, like, is that still a go? Like once everything gets back to quote normal,
I'll have to reach back out to them because what they had, because they had awarded me that scholarship. And so when the in-person was canceled, they offered me Zoom training and I declined because it was 6 hours a day.
What?
Because the training is so intense. Like if I went to it, it would be, I believe it was 21 days straight.
Right.
So to get it all, to get all your hours in a short period of time, that's what they were offering. And I just thought, no, I mean, I know I have to be trapped in the house, but I don't want to be stuck in one spot for 6 hours a day.
Kids in school. Like, yeah.
You're in a classroom full of people. Yeah. It's different. But yeah. So yeah. I declined because the experience that I want to have is not that.
Yeah. It kind of takes away from the whole purpose of it in my head. Yeah. So. I totally get the vibe and the
connection. Yeah. I want to feel the zen around me. I want to feel the energy from the people I'm in the room with. We're all there for, you know, same reasons, you know? And so I imagine that it would just be a room full of wonderful, positive energy. And I mean, I do Zoom yoga and I love my instructor. So her energy, whenever I hear her voice, I'm totally with that. But like, she's not going to be my instructor at yoga school. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be, you know, maybe it would be enjoyable, but it wasn't anything that was appealing to me at all in the moment.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I think too, you know, since all of that, I mean, we've kind of advanced our new normal, like, okay, maybe I could do that, but I'm glad I made it to the time because the constriction of it too. I know that my oldest deciding that she wanted to be home for Zoom, you know, initially she was like, I fucking hate this and I want to be where my friends are. But now she's like, even though it's harder, she's like, Mom, I don't want to go back to school right now. Like the fake and the teachers don't know what they're talking about. And I keep trying to tell her, like, you know, they're just going through the same hell we are. We got to give them more grace. But, you know, she's comfortable now in her house, which I never thought she would be. So yeah, the new normals. Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy how well we can adapt sometimes and other times not so much. But I think that a majority of the people that I'm in touch with and communicate with, they've all eventually adjusted really well. But it was difficult in the beginning. I have friends that are home with little kids, and I can't imagine. I'm thankful that I'm not dealing with that. But then at the same time, you know, I've got a 19-year-old that lives with her dad, and it's like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I can't. Okay, where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to meet people? Yeah. I have a friend that's you know, like, well, you know, she talks about if she meets a guy and someone says to her, where did you meet him? Oh, a bar. And she's like, well, where else am I supposed to meet people? I don't know what to do. And you can't even meet anyone at the grocery store now. I mean, you could, but you know, you don't really, everyone's in their mask and shuffling along. And I don't know if you guys have arrows, but we have arrows and everyone's ready to fight each other. And so there's, you know, no like just looking over at someone's cart and being like, hey.
Right. I'm so judgy in that regard when I would work on the other side. I'd be like, oh, you're buying that on a Saturday? Interesting. But yeah, it's actually funny that you say that about meeting people too, because, you know, I feel really bad for my girls, especially, you know, the older kids that they can't do anything. No. And this is my oldest, her junior year. And it's like, dude, I'm kind of grateful because when I was a junior, .. like I wasn't a bad kid, but it's like, I was definitely not staying at home. And so I'm kind of grateful in that regard that, you know, both girls are a little bit held back and will appreciate being able to go and do more things. Like all the times that I would drag them out to do stuff, I bet now they're like, damn, I wish I'd be out doing shit with my mom, you know? But as far as meeting people too, like I was on a dating site for a little bit and, you know, a handful of great conversations with people. And I had joined a dating site. I think it was actually Tinder, like right after I was dating someone. And I was like, this is such a joke, but I ended up connecting with someone and he's a great guy. We're super close as friends now. And I love that because we have become close during this COVID time without that meeting up, that energy that you're like, oh my God, let's make it physical. You know, I appreciate that so much more. And I think too, like I got on this dating site, not really expecting that, we're going to have to meet eventually. And I'm just not ready. Like I can't be meeting up with strangers anymore, knowing that, you know, whatever you're going through could affect my family. And I really feel like I should have been thinking about that before. I mean, you're telling me about your one friend. I was like, yeah, I could probably relate to that. But it has changed my mind in such a different way that all these last couple of years after my breakup was like, oh, I just want to fall in love again. And for me, it's like, if it happens, it does, because everything that's happening right now is happening for a reason. Mm-hmm. And everything that's supposed to happen will happen. And, grocery store meeting, although I think the friendships that I have at work right now because of COVID and working there, I mean, I just think they're more intensified because we are standing there in a mask together. You know what I mean? It might be totally different if we didn't have that, where we didn't have anything in common. At least we have that part in common. Like, can you believe we have to wear this shit for 8 hours? Like, it's fucking ridiculous, but.
I know. Yeah. And the places that I go to, like some people that I visit, I will wear my mask. Like I have no problem wearing it. But I do like being without it. You know, I will say that. I like being at home without something on my face. I feel silly putting my mask on if I get myself a coffee to drive up to the window, but I feel like it's respectful. So I do, we have to do what we have to do. But it's funny, like with like teenagers, I've talked to some that, you know, maybe their parents are like, oh my gosh, where is she finding these guys online? And so I say to them, where is she supposed to? She can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. All she has is this phone in her hand. This is her only means of communication. I mean, maybe they're sketchy, but we really don't know. And it's not like they can go out and see each other. And like we have a curfew on driving. I think it's still in effect. I don't really know, but everybody's supposed to be off the road by 10 p.m. in mass. So.
Wow.
So they like, I think that, essential workers, like I think grocery stores can stay open until 10. But, and I think maybe some delivery restaurants, like fast food delivery, I think can stay open because that's food. But like the gym has to close by 9:30. They used to close at 10. So the big joke in the beginning was like, oh, because you're going to catch COVID on the road in your car between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. Right. Like, nobody really even understands it, but whatever.
So. Well, to be fair, and I'm definitely a poster child for this, nothing good happens after midnight. Well, I was just going to
say, as a parent of a 19-year-old, I am grateful kind of for this because there have been times that she's asked me to give her a ride somewhere. And I'll be like, I don't want to get arrested. I don't think I would, but I'm like, I don't want to get arrested for driving after the time. It's against the law. Now all of a sudden we don't break driving laws.
Right.
But yes, nothing good happens after midnight.
It doesn't. I mean, maybe a handful of times I've had a wonderful time, but I think rarely. I'm like, and I was up in Kansas City the other day heading to my sister's, and it was Friday night, and the busiest road in fucking Kansas City. And I hate saying the word PTSD, but my accident that I had back in September, like, holy shit, I hate driving in the dark where I don't know where I am. And these crazy people, like, they have no regard still. Like, COVID hasn't changed them. They're like, fuck you, I'm going to do whatever I want. And yeah, it totally stresses me out. So I wish we had that kind of curfew. I mean, I literally go to work, come home, take a shower, make dinner, go to bed. And I kind of like that now. So at 46, when I'm allowed to go to concerts again, I'll be like, I don't know. I can't.
Can we Zoom that concert? Like, are they going to Zoom it?
Oh, God. I mean, I'm supposed to go to one in April that has been rescheduled now 3 times in Colorado. And I'm just praying that I'll get to see my boy Blue. But who knows? I mean, who knows? I am down to keep people safe, but I see all these other a-holes. Like, how are you having so much fun? Why aren't you adhering to this? I feel like you're just, you know, you're delaying the process, but whatever.
I know.
Everyone's
going to do their own thing. And all we are really only responsible for ourselves. And, you know, if you know that they're not, then you just stay away. I don't know. It's a touchy thing. Yeah. You know, the world is a touchy place to be in. So like you do have to worry about yourself and your own, precautions that you take, and that's that. And if someone is in your space, like I know one time, probably in the late spring, early summer. And I was at the grocery store and I was reaching to get a package of meat and a woman cut her arm in front of me to reach across. And I like kind of jumped back and I was like, whoa. And she said to me, I have on my mask. And I said, even if you didn't, I don't want to be that close to you.
Right.
Like, so it's still that whole, like, I can choose to stay away from whomever I choose to stay away from. And if I don't agree with what they're doing, then I don't have to be there. I do like the being able to kind of excuse myself from things because I really don't feel comfortable. And, you know, I have family members that I might want to go see on a whim. And, you know, whether I'm allowed to cross state lines or not, if I need to be there, I'm going to be there. And I'm not going to be carrying Corona across the line with me if I can help it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's really, I mean, if everybody just stayed in their own lane and thought about it that way, it'd be better. But yeah, it's just been this lesson upon lessons for sure. And I mean, I'm grateful for the shit show that we've seen because it really has opened my eyes to what I will accept and won't anymore. Yeah. And I think I'm proud of myself for having boundaries and saying, you know, I don't have to put up with that. I won't put up with that. And even though I'm love and light, you can also go fuck yourself. Like, I don't have to put up with that. And you don't have to put up with me either. So I'm grateful for this eye-opening
past year.
Yeah, no more just going with the flow, you know? And I like going with the flow. I like to just flow because it's easy.
Yeah.
But no, mm-hmm. I don't have to do it. I don't have to flow. I can just sit here and float, like, by myself.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Well, I'm just grateful that we were able to chat some more and kind of get a vibe of what's going on. So before we go, what is like one of the main takeaways that you have, you know, learned over this past 9 months, 10 months? What sticks out to you the most?
What sticks out to me the most? Really, I could, you know, go on for days, but the amount of loss that I have been dealing with in, you know, in my own personal space has taught me that, you know, we already know life is too short, but you have to stay, I don't know how to put this in words. Tell the people that you love them. Be the good that you wish to see, like all of those things, because nothing is promised. And like, it's sort of cliche what I'm doing, but, or saying, but I've never needed the people that I love more than I do right now. And so staying connected, being connected, being in the moment, and loving life because you have to, you should. I can't say you have to. I have to. If I don't love life, then I'm not happy.
Yes, I love that.
And like anyone that knows me,
you don't have to. And that's the thing, like that is literally a choice. And I love that you put it that way because sometimes people just don't know how. But yes, for me to survive too, I need to love life, and it doesn't have to have all these, you know, perfect equations, but the tiny steps for me to have a happy life or A, B, and C or whatever. And so, yeah, you don't have to, but you should. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Thank you.
Well, and I know it's been rough, and I just love you so much. And, I'm here for you anytime, and I'm glad that we went deep, but we didn't go that deep.
I mean, because I could do the rabbit holes we could go on down in the deep, like, whew, we'd be there.
I know, right? Yes. But anyway, I'm super proud of you. I'm here for you anytime. I can't wait to post this and get this rolling back again.
I'm excited. I'm happy this is all back up and running. And I look forward to listening to every one of them again, because that is a part of a ritual that I was in at the time during through all of that. So I look forward to that again too.
Awesome. Yeah, it really has helped me too. And I've told somebody that I had scheduled one. I was like, you know, to be honest, I'm not really feeling socially or podcasty, and I just don't feel it would be fair. And so hopefully, yeah, I'll get a slew of new people to enlighten us all and keep us all, you know, being creative. I think that's been something too with my kids. It's like, you know, that creative energy is really important, that we all have something to offer, you know, no matter what realm it is, there's definitely something we are all able to give to this world. So I'm happy to be able to interview and shoot the shit with
and
people.
I'm
like
happy
you,
to be here and to be able to do it with you.
Awesome. Well, I love you, lady. You take care, and we will definitely
be in
touch.
Yes, I love you too. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks. Yes, ma'am. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, hon.